I'm not Dick Ruppel. He's got a larger beard. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Ian and Marty Drucker are here with us this morning. Ian will be our guest speaker, and we're so glad you're here. The scripture this morning is from Romans chapter 8, I believe. Is that right, Ian? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Therefore, there is no... Well, that's a little different version, so I'll read it from here. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and the law of death.
Amen.
Romans 8, let's pray. Almighty God, as we come together to worship you, to praise you, to give you the glory and the honor, we're grateful for your Son Jesus, who sacrificed his life willingly for our sins and for the sins of the world. And in your Holy Spirit, Father, we give you all the glory. Bless each one here. Bless our worship. Bless our lives in Christ Jesus, Father, that we walk faithfully. We're so thankful and so grateful for the bride of Christ, called out, the church, universal, and especially here in Frederick and the works throughout the world. In your name, to bring others to Jesus, to spread the good news, to be faithful to you. We thank you, bless our worship, bless our families, in Jesus' holy name, amen.
Now it's my turn.
I almost thought about waiting a second, but I thought, man, that wouldn't be very nice.
Well, good morning, church. What a blessing it is for Marty and I to be here with you today. I'm so thankful. It's always good to come back here. This is the location where Marty and I got baptized into Christ and where we launched out into full-time ministry with your support. And we're just so thankful for this congregation. And this congregation will always be in our hearts as our home congregation, no matter where we go, because this is where it all began for us. And it's always a blessing and a joy to come back here and be with you all today. And time has a way of flying, doesn't it? And it just seems like the older we get, the faster it goes.
It's downhill.
Yeah. We have two grandsons now. We have a grandson named Brian, who's 2, and a grandson, Jacob, who's 4. And Jacob, the 4-year-old, played T-ball this year. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, T-ball is much like baseball, but instead of getting pitched to, they have a little stand that the ball sits on, and then they try to whack it off. Well, watching 4-year-olds play T-ball is just cute and comical at the same time. At any given moment, when you look out on the field, you will see people sunbathing. You will see people trying to catch flies, playing tag, all sorts of things. And when the batter eventually, and I say eventually because sometimes it can take a long time, when the batter actually hits the ball, he doesn't have a clue of where to go and when to go. But wherever he does go, he's going to bring his bat. And when the ball does get out into the outfield, the whole team is going after it, including the bench. Well, Jacob, he struggled a little bit with it this year. In fact, there was one point where he told his mom he wanted to quit, and I was very proud of her. She said, nope, you're not gonna quit. She said, you started this, you're gonna finish. If you don't wanna play next year, you don't have to play, but you made a commitment, you owe it to your team, you're gonna be there. And you know, he did, he stuck it out. And the last game was last week, and he did pretty good. So after the game, his mother says to him, Jacob, You were awesome. You played awesome. How'd you get so awesome? And he said with a little frustration, remember, 4 years old, a little frustration and slight indignation, and he's very expressive. He's quite an expressive 4-year-old. He just puts his hand like this. He goes, Mom, how many times do I have to tell you? We talked about this last week. I tell you all the time. It's Jesus. Out of the mouths of babes. Out of the mouths of babes. And I just thought, praise God. And you know, Can we just say that being a grandparent is one of God's greatest blessings?
Amen.
My grandsons, they call me Pop-Pop. They call her Mimi. But when they see me and they scream Pop-Pop and run into my arms after they've already done that with Mimi, it just melts my heart. You know, and time does go fast. We're midway through this year. It's June. And it's been a rough year for Marty and I. It's been a little rough year. January 27th, I was diagnosed with high-grade invasive bladder cancer. Many of you know that. And by the way, I just want to say thank you so much for your prayers, for your support, for your love, for everything you've done for us, are doing, and will do for us in the future. But even if, have you heard that song on the radio lately? Even if. But even if cancer consumes a body, and it may, cancer does not have to be a death sentence. We need to share this, there's only one true death sentence for every person that's alive. That's dying apart from Jesus Christ. That's dying in a state of unforgiveness from God. That's dying without being cleansed of your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the one and only true death sentence that exists for any person on the planet. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, this is something that's very important. And sometimes we, even as Christians, get this a little confused and we don't really explain it very well to people when we talk about eternal life. You know, our eternal life starts the moment that we're baptized into Christ. The moment our sins are forgiven, that's when we have eternal life. It doesn't start after we die. It starts right now, where we are right with God. The moment we come out of that watery grave, we're raised up to newness of life because of the power of God, and we have the Holy Spirit. Our sins have been washed away, and we've been added to the church. That's when eternal life begins. Praise God. I know I have that. If you're in Christ, you know you have that. I know this, and I know many things, and all of us who are Christians know many things. We know certain things, but the world has a misunderstanding of cancer and life and death, but we, as Christians, we know better, and we know things with absolute certainty. We know them in our heart. We know they are for sure. We know they are certain. Because we learn them from the Word of God. And the Word of God is true. The Word of God is real. And everything that's in that Word of God, everything we've heard, everything we believed, everything we've learned and listened to over the years, for many years, whatever the time period is, you can count on it. You can count on it. Today I want to talk to you about certain things that I am. There's certain things that all of us as Christians are, and that's actually the title of this message, Christians Are. Now, I've been doing a lot of reflecting in the last few months, and I've thought about what I am in spite of what's happening to me. And there are many things that I could share with you, and I could go on and on and on for hours, but there are five critical things I want to share with you in the time we have together today. Critical things that all Christians are, regardless of their circumstances. And I'm going through this. But you know, we're all going through something, right? The way life is, maybe you're going through cancer. Maybe you're going through some kind of financial hardship. Maybe you're going through a family crisis. We're all going through certain things. But whatever we're going through, there are certain things that we are because we're Christians. And Christians are, and the first things I want to share with you, Christians are, let's see if I can get this to work. Christians are thankful. That's the first thing. Above everything else, you know what we are? We are thankful. And it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It doesn't matter if we're facing a disease as cancer. It doesn't matter if we're having a financial hardship. It doesn't matter if we're going through a family dispute. It doesn't matter if we're having trouble with our neighbors. It doesn't matter what's going on or whatever Satan throws at us, whatever kind of temptation he brings to us. It doesn't matter. And you know what? Above all else, we are, number one, thankful. And there's good reason for that. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. I don't have slides for these, but I invite you to turn your Bibles with me. I'm going to read everything that I have to share, and I'm going to read from the NIV version. So let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is why we are thankful no matter what's going on in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here's what he says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We all know who that is. He says, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, now look at this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. We were dead in our sins, but now we're alive. We are made alive, and God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We're saved. We are right with God Almighty himself, the creator of the universe, the one who has all power, all authority, the one who has made everything that we see. We are right with him. We've been saved by the blood of Christ Jesus and because of our obedience to the call of the gospel. So guess what? Know this. Remember this. Put this in your heart. No matter what happens to you, no matter what goes on, no matter what life brings to you in this lifetime while you're here on this earth, it does not matter. Because we are thankful, because we are saved, and we are right with God Almighty, the creator of all heaven and earth. That's a reason to be thankful no matter what, right? Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
That's huge. That is huge. The world needs to hear this. We need to bring this message to the world. Because the world is very confused right now. We see it. The world has a lot of misunderstandings about a lot of things. About God, about life, about death, about Christianity, and about the Lord's church. And I think about this scripture a lot. I've memorized. I'm a person who really strives to memorize scripture because I think the more we have it in our heart, the more it can work in our lives. And when we're talking to people, if it's in your heart, you know, you're having conversations with the people, it just starts to flow out. You know, the scripture tells us, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And you'll be having conversations with people, and you won't even be thinking about it, but you'll be quoting scripture. And when we can give people book, chapter, and verse of what we're saying, it gives us credibility. And they take notice of that. I've been talking to people that say, hey, what was that again? They want to write it down. People that don't know anything about the Bible, because they're so intrigued, they want to go home and look it up. That's powerful. All right, let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. And while you're turning there, the verse I was going to mention, and I think about this a lot even now, and even so more because of what I'm going through. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, 27, and he says this, and I love this verse. He says, whatever happens. Now, there's no wiggle room there, right? He doesn't say, you know, if this happens and it's okay, if this happens and you're good with it. No, he says whatever happens. That means whatever happens in your life, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. As Christians, that's our mandate. And that's a command by Christ. Through Paul, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of my gospel. I'm trying to do that. I know as Christians we're all trying to do that. Whatever happens, whatever life brings, that's what we're supposed to be doing, conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And it doesn't matter. You cannot say, well, they did this. Doesn't matter. I'm experiencing this. Doesn't matter. I'm going through this. Doesn't matter. Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ Jesus. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Paul wrote this talking about our present weaknesses and resurrection life. It says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Don't you just love that? Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. He says, verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And Paul is reminding us to keep our minds set on the right things, not on things that we can see, not on things that we can touch, but things that are unseen. And this body, I know it's changing. I feel the change in me. But inwardly, I am being renewed day by day. And if you're in Christ, you are being renewed day by day. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you don't feel it. I hear that a lot. Well, I don't feel it. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Think about this. I've baptized a lot of people in my time as a minister. And some people are great. They're emotional. They come out of that watery grave. And they go, oh, I feel amazing. I say, praise God. And other people come out and say, you know, I don't really feel that different. Does that matter? I say, no, doesn't matter. It's not about your feelings. It's about the Word of God. It's about the promise of God. And you got to remember, sometimes your feelings can lead you astray, right? Think about times we've heard people say, well, I just feel like I'm supposed to be doing this. But you know it's a sin. You know it's it's contradictory to God's Word. They use their feelings to justify what they're getting ready to do. We got to be careful about that. Your feelings will very often lead you in the wrong direction. So no matter how you feel, especially in cases like this, where you have God's Word, where you have God's promise, that's what we rely on. We don't count on our feelings. We don't rely on our feelings. What we count on and what we trust in and what we rely on is the Word of God. And when God says something, you can count on it. And when He says we're being renewed day by day, it doesn't matter whether we feel it or not, because I know there could be days coming with what's going on in me, where I'm not going to feel that great. But it won't matter. Because I'm still going to be renewed inwardly each day. Like people who are baptized into Christ that don't feel any different, we tell them, doesn't matter how you feel. The Word of God says you've been baptized into Christ. You've been washed of your sins. You've been added to the church. You're forgiven. You're a child of God. You're right with Him. You are cleansed. You are holy. You are pure. You are now part of the family of God. Praise God. So don't worry about how you feel. Go back and study the Word of God and study it more and more and more. And let it change you. Let it grow you. Let it do for you what God intends for it to do. That's the message. Feelings are dangerous. The Word of God is perfect. All right, let's talk about the second thing. Christians are confident. Praise God, Christians are confident. Nothing can separate a Christian from the love of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Appreciate that scripture reading, and Romans 8 has been a very encouraging chapter for me. I hope it is for you. And anytime I get discouraged, you know what I do? I go right to Romans chapter 8. And I just love the way it begins. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's a great way to start. And the rest of the chapter is just as beautiful. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul wrote this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Satan will try, and Satan will use whatever he can use to make us think that we've lost that connection, especially after we've sinned. It's a very vulnerable time. That's why it's so important when we do sin to get right back up, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, to know we have it, and to keep moving forward with the Lord. I'm confident. I'm convinced that nothing that happens to me will ever be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you have that too. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 9. And this is where it begins to get very interesting and where we see a strike contrast between the way people of the world view things and the way we as Christians view things. And I got to tell you, I have a cousin, his name is Gary. We're 2 years apart. He's still clinging to the Jewish faith. Most of you know I was born and raised in the Jewish faith. I didn't become a Christian until I was 33. Marty and I got baptized together here. It's kind of touchy sometimes when we're around each other. I love him very much, and I want him to know what I know and to have what I have. Well, Gary is 2 years older than me. He was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. It runs in our family. And he's terminal. It's all through his body. And, you know, his view of cancer and his attitude about life and death is so different. He's terrified. He's terrified, and he's willing to do whatever any doctor tells him he should do to stay alive, no matter what. And no matter what it does to him, he's willing to do any surgery, any radiation treatment, any chemotherapy, even if it makes him so sick that he can't even enjoy the rest of the time he has. That's sad. That's the contrast between a worldly view of what's going on and the Christian view of what we know is going on. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 9, "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight." Verse 8, "We are confident." We are confident, I say, and would prefer, look at this, and would prefer, that's the preference that Paul has, that's the preference we all should have as Christians, that we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. If that's not the way we're feeling, what are we talking about? That's what it's all about. It's about going home to be with the Lord forever in heaven. And he says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. So, for the Christian, life and death have a very different meaning. Life and death have a very different position for us. Because when we get baptized into Christ, we're already made eternal. We have eternal life. So the only thing we're talking about now, as Paul says, is where we are dwelling. We're either going to be here in the body, or we're going to be present with the Lord. And he says, it's far better to depart the body and be in the presence of the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Believe it with all my heart. It gives me great comfort. It should give all of us great comfort in knowing this. Which leads us to the next thing that we are. Number 3, Christians are excited. You know, I think this is a huge thing. I think when we approach non-Christians with ourselves, with the gospel, with things we have to share, a lot of times they don't understand that. And I think maybe we have something to do with that because we don't come at it with the level of excitement we should have. Being a Christian is exciting. It's not about following a list of rules of do's and don'ts and legalism. No, that's what the Pharisees were all about. That's why Jesus had a problem with them. We are excited. Christians are excited about what we know and what's going on and what's happening with us. And we're excited due to the testimony of God. It's not about what we say, it's about what God says. And we rely on the Word of God. We rely on the testimony of God. Here's what John had to say. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. He says this: whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed, look at this, the testimony God has given about his Son. We're excited because we have testimony from God. We all understand the significance of testimony, right? We're most familiar with it in a court of law when somebody's called up to the witness stand to give testimony because they have some information on a specific situation, a specific case, and their testimony is relied on to make decisions. Well, sometimes people lie to get what they want. But the testimony of God, that's good, that's right, it's true, and we can always count on it. They have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son, verse 11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. We have the testimony of God. We understand the testimony of God, and we believe the testimony of God, and that's why we're excited. Because we're not believing things that we think up. We're not believing things that we have just come up with out of the blue. No, we have the Word of God. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is there. The Word of God is telling us all these things that we need to know. And it's exciting. And the testimony of God can be counted on time after time after time. All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And this is huge. This is huge for me right now. And I keep saying this verse, keep reading this verse, keep thinking through this verse over and over again. Paul wrote Philippians 1, 21 through 23, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Paul understood this. He knew, hey, it's better for me to leave this body and be with the Lord. So what are we all so worried about? What is the thing that's driving us to cling to these earthly bodies so much? When Paul says it right here, for me to depart and be with the Lord is far better than being at life in this body. But if I am, if the Lord wills it, and that's what we always have to remember, it's whatever God wants. And we have to desire God's will above our own will in everything, in every situation. And Paul's making it clear right here. He knows, and we need to know, that if that time comes, when it comes, you know what? We should be excited. Because when we transition from the body, we're going to be with the Lord forever. Forever. That should make us excited. And that should change our attitude about doing things that make us stay in the body against the will of the Lord. And I know it's tough sometimes, but this is what Paul's telling us. This is what the Word of God is telling us. And we need to have it in our heart to help us through all these different situations. And in a way, there's going to be some sadness. I'm excited about what may happen to me. Marty's even excited about what may happen to me. And she says, I'm kind of a little jealous. You may go first. But the sadness that I have is thinking about her going on this life after the Lord may take me away.
But yet, I know in my heart, because I've seen it. We've seen it. Even if that happens, when it happens, God is going to take care of her. And God's going to use his people to take care of her. Because God uses his people to take care of us. You have helped take care of us. And I know that God will be there for her. She knows that God will be there for her. And I have confidence in that. That God's people will rally around her if and when that happens. And that she will be perfectly fine. Because she's also a child of the living God. And he loves us all. And he provides for us all. Number four, Christians are peaceful. Christians are peaceful. Philippians 4, let's look at this. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Look at this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, no wiggle room. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. Peace. I can tell you, one of the things I'm noticing about myself in this whole situation is that I am totally at peace. I'm experiencing this. But we all should be, as Christians. No matter what we're going through, whatever hardship, we should always have this peace. This peace that transcends understanding. And I'm telling you, it is even transcending my understanding, because I think back to the way I was before I became a Christian. I'm thinking back to the life I used to live, the way I used to be. And I also see what my cousin Gary is going through. And he's in torment. But me, as a Christian, as a child of the living God, baptized into Christ Jesus with the Holy Spirit in me, there's this peace. I don't know how it's working. I just know it is. And I know it. I have it. And I realize it. And it's wonderful. And people go to me, how can you be so calm? And I'm like, it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's beyond me. And I don't even understand it. I really don't. But I know it's real. I know it's there. I know it's keeping me calm. I know it's my reality. And my reality is that I can tell you this. I am totally and completely 100% at peace right now. And I believe I will be, no matter what happens. That's what Christians are. Peaceful. At peace. Paul also said it like this in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. I am so thankful. That's another thing I'm realizing. As this transitions, as we're moving forward, my peace is increasing. And my thankfulness is growing exponentially. It's unbelievable. I don't even know how to explain it. It just is. And I just have this incredible joy in my heart, this thankfulness for God that just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And I just find myself almost giddy at times. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. And it's all because of the peace of Christ ruling in my heart. And the Holy Spirit of God within me, teaching me, leading me, guiding me, being with me, being with me. Because we may go through the shadow of the valley of death, but God is always there with us. That gives us peace. Finally, the last thing. Christians are family. Christians are family. I'm so thankful for that. When you're in the Lord's church, anybody who is in Christ is your family. And I can tell you that Marty and I have experienced more love, more care, more concern, more prayer, more blessing from the Lord's church than we have from our own biological families. Our families were a wreck. And to some extent, they still are. But being in the Lord's church, being in the family of God, and it is interesting. I thought about this the other day. Every place we've worshiped, every church we've been part of, I've been a minister at. Everyone here, Delaware, and now Laurel, Maryland. There's no greater blessing in this world than to be a Christian. And the love and the care and the compassion that you all have showered upon us, not only now, but ever since we became Christians, is wonderful. The love and the care and compassion we've received from the Laurel Church of Christ, where we were for 6 years, same thing. And now where we are in Laurel, Delaware, same thing. And I can tell you, that's the beauty, because every place we've been, we still have very close relationships with the congregation, with the elders, with the ministers. And that's what it's supposed to be like. That's exactly what it's supposed to be like, because we are family. That's our theme at Laurel for this whole year. That's our theme. We are family. And everything that we're doing this year, every Bible class, every sermon, everything, is tied into that fact that we are family. And there's benefit to being in the family. We know it. We experience it. But Paul even gives us guidance on that, how to treat each other. Galatians 6:10, last verse, and then we'll be done. Galatians 6:10. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's benefit. There's benefit to being part of God's family. Because we're supposed to be looking out for each other more so than people who aren't part of the family. And that's what family does. That's what it's all about. And if you're in Christ, you have a family. God's family, not just here in Frederick. All over the world. And we thank him for that. And if you don't have that, you should want that. And if you need help, there are many people. We have elders, ministers, myself, many people who can help you understand what it takes, what it means, and how you have to go about becoming part of God's family. And it's laid out clear in the Bible. Hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of a sinful life, which means turning away from sin and turning to God. Confessing Jesus as Lord, being baptized into Christ, and then living a life of faith for his glory. If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to really think about that because of everything we talked about today. Pray about it, think about it, investigate it. And life has a way of hitting us right between the eyes. It's interesting because back in 1993, when Mari and I became Christians, it was because my sister at the time, who was 38, she was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And it really got me thinking about what's going to happen to me. Because if she's 38 and she has this, and she did die 9 months later, what's going to happen to me? If I die right now, if I get something like this and I die. And it got me searching, seeking. And I call those, we talked about this a lot, Laurel, significant emotional events, S-E-E. And significant emotional events can help us to see God in a whole new way because we now have a real need to see him and to know him and to want to be right with him. And if you're here and you're not, I encourage you to see God, to know God, and get right with God in Christ Jesus. If there's anything we can do for you right here, right now, please let us know as we stand and think.